Take your Bibles, if you would, tonight. Romans chapter 1. Last week, we started the doctrinal section of this book. In every letter or epistle that Paul wrote, he had a doctrinal session where he told people what to believe, and then he had a practical session, told them how what they believe should impact how they live. And so, as we started last week in verse 18, the Bible says a couple different things. First of all, it reminds us that God hates sin. He hates sin, and that his wrath is revealed against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. And we made the distinction between those two words. Ungodliness talks about our relationship with him and what people think about him. Unrighteousness talks about our relationship with each other, the horizontal relationships we have on this earth. And we were reminded that God has revealed his truth to all mankind. He does that through creation or nature. He does that through our spirits or our conscious. And yet, there are people that choose to ignore that truth. There are people that choose to hold it or hold it down or suppress it, keep it back. And as a result, they don't glorify God as being God. They enjoy the things of nature, but they're not thankful. And they become vain in their imagination. In order to explain their existence, in order to explain the order that's in the world, they have to make something up. If they don't believe in God, they got to make something up. And Paul calls it vain imagination because everything they make up is empty. It doesn't give them purpose. It does not give them hope for the future. And so they end up worshiping things. They worship images. They worship animals. They worship heavenly bodies, other things in creation. And so we start tonight in verse 24 where the Bible says, wherefore? And it's that wherefore refers back to everything that we talked about last week, everything that man has done and not done because they rejected the truth, didn't receive the truth, and they made something up to substitute it for. The Bible says, for that reason, God gave them up. He quit trying to reach them. He quit trying to set the truth before them. He gave up. And I will tell you tonight, it's a terrible, terrible thing when God gives up on a person. Because when God gives up on you, there's no hope. You can't turn to anything else. You can't turn to anyone else. And I would remind you, we don't come to God on our own. I mean, no man has ever come to God on his own. He draws us. The Bible tells us he draws us. The Holy Spirit woos us to come to God. And again, I would remind you, God doesn't pick and choose. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so he gives the truth to every person. He draws every person. He woos every person. But God has his limit. Now, his patience is a lot longer than ours, and his patience far outdistances ours. But even his patience eventually will come to an end. And just like Paul talks about in this chapter, he'll give up. And I believe that's what the Bible talks about when it talks about the unpardonable sin, the sin that God cannot nor will forgive. When he calls and calls and calls and woos and keeps presenting the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ before us over and over in different ways and different formats. And by the way, he knows each person as an individual. He knows what will get them. He knows how the truth needs to be presented. He knows who needs to talk to him. And I believe God uses everything at his disposal to get the truth to them, but if they keep saying no, 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 and keep rejecting the truth of God, eventually God will say, okay, I'm done. I won't bother you anymore. I won't call you anymore. I won't woo you anymore. That's why if he's calling, you better come. That's why if he's calling and wooing you, you better come while he's doing that. That's why the Bible says today's the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. If there's something in your heart, I mean, I don't usually give an invitation on Wednesday night, but if you're here tonight and you've never received Christ as your Savior, and you hear that still small voice talking to you right now that says, hey, that preacher's right. You're a sinner. You need a Savior. And the Holy Spirit might say, I'm not going to call you forever. I'm calling you now. I'm wooing you now. But the invitation at some point, if you keep rejecting it, it's going to quit. And if you're here tonight and you're not saved, you need to talk to me, or you need to talk to somebody. You need to get it settled tonight while he's calling. And so the Bible says in that verse, God gave them up to uncleanness. Now, from this verse and other verses where Paul uses this word, it means sexual uncleanness, means sexual aberration or sexual perversion. Something that God did not design, something that comes out of the wickedness of man. God says, okay, I'm going to give you up to your own desires. I'm going to give you up to your own lust. And he says by this, in the last part of that verse, they dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Look at verse 25. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Again, Paul says, God gave them the truth. He gave them the truth in nature. He gave them the truth in their conscience. And yet they rejected that truth. They held it down. They suppressed it. And they turned to idolatry, and they ended up worshiping and serving the creature, those things that God had made, more than they did God, the one who made it. And so they worshiped and exalted things like idols, images, animals, heavenly bodies, and they gave them a much higher position than God intended for them to have. They gave them a higher position than God had in their hearts and in their minds. For this cause, and let me read verses 26 and 27. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. Again, for this cause, because they rejected the truth that God gave them, and they turned to idols, the Bible says that God gave them up to vile affections. Affections which were not designed by God. Affections which were vile. In other words, dirty, wicked, evil. And God and Paul come right out and spell it. Women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Men with men. The natural use is man and woman in marriage to becoming one. God never intended for it to be woman with woman or man with man. The world can say, as it does and as it is, it's a choice of lifestyle. And they can legalize it and make it legal. I mean, there's even churches today that's saying those kind of relationships are okay. And there's other people that will tell us, hey, look, you need to tolerate it. You don't have to agree with it, but you need to tolerate it. And if you speak against it, and they call it a hate crime. Let me just make sure you understand what I think the Bible says and what I believe. I believe that homosexuality is a sin. I believe in God's sight it is an abomination. In Leviticus 18:22, the Bible says, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind, it is an abomination. In Leviticus 20:13, if a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination, they shall surely be put to death, their blood shall be upon them. We read in the book of Genesis the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. Two cities that were characterized, that were full of this sin. And the Bible says that God destroyed them with brimstone and fire. The very things that make up hell, God destroyed these two cities with. And I think it paints the picture how much he hates this sin. And again it says, they received in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meat. They're going to pay the price of that sin in eternity, but they also pay the price here. AIDS, other sexual diseases, is the price of disobeying God. And what that verse is saying, they got what they got what they deserved. It was meat. God told them. God warned them. Now again, before we leave, let me do it right now. We need to make the distinction between the sin and the sinner. God hates this sin. It's an abomination to him. But God loves the sinner. Homosexuality is an abomination, but Jesus died on Calvary for homosexuals, just like he did for every other sinner. And they need to repent, and they need to come to Jesus Christ, and he will save them. Now, some people say today, well, people are like that because they have a genetic disposition. No, it's a choice, just like every sin is. It's a choice that people make. And we, as Bible-believing Christians, we don't need to compromise. We don't need to tolerate. We need to call sin, sin. It needs to be preached against. We need to love the sinner. And we need to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. But we need to stand firmly on the truth of the Bible, that this sin in God's sight is an abomination. By the way, the Bible says that the increase of homosexuality is a sign of the soon return of Jesus Christ. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection." And so, again, the widespread acceptance of this sin is a sign that the end times are here, that Jesus Christ is getting ready to come, as do all those other things that are in that verse. And I didn't read the rest of them. There's some more after that in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Look at verse 28. "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient." Since they didn't keep the truth of God in their knowledge, since they were presented with the truth, again, in nature, in our spirit. And by the way, as I mentioned last week, if we walk in that light, that the truth that comes from nature and the truth that comes from our conscience, God will give us more. I mean, as we walk in that light, that there is a God that made everything that we see. It just didn't happen with the Big Bang. It just didn't all come together. It was created by an omnipotent God. And he talks to our spirit, our conscience, whatever you want to call it. I mean, those are testimonies from him. Those are truth revealed from him. And as we walk in that truth, God will give us more. But these people ignored that truth. They suppressed it. They held it down. And so for a third time, the Bible says, God gave them up, or God gave them over to a reprobate mind. That word reprobate means unapproving or undiscerning. These people get to the point where they can't discern between right and wrong. They can't discern between what's natural and what's unnatural. And so they come to the point that what they're doing, they think is right. They think it's natural, when in reality, it is a wicked, abominable sin in God's sight. All right, look at verses 29 and 30. "Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents." Verse 31, "without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful." What Paul says, look, these folks that have suppressed the truth of God, who God has given up to this perversion, they're not just tainted with sin, they're saturated with it. They're filled with it. And Paul lists 23 things in verses 29, 30, and 31. 23 things that characterize the life of somebody that has suppressed the truth of God, rejected the truth of God, that God has given up on. Again, I won't talk about every one of them, but just look at the list. Unrighteous, which means they don't believe in justice. They don't. They're for injustice. Fornication, again, which is such sexual relations between a man and a woman that are not married to each other. Wickedness, covetousness, grasping for more and more. Maliciousness, in other words, wanting evil things to happen to other people. Full of envy, jealous, murder. Remember, Jesus told us if we hate somebody, we're just as guilty as if we kill them. Debate, which means they're argumentative, which means they won't agree with you on anything. They argue just for the sake of argument. Deceit, which means they try to cause different people to believe things that are not true. Malignity, which is intense ill will or hatred. Whispers, gossipers, backbiters. In other words, people that'll stab you in the back. They'll say something evil and slanderous about you. Haters of God. Despiteful, looking down on other people. Proud. Boasters. Inventors of evil things. Disobedient to parents. Without understanding. Covenant breakers. They don't keep their word. Without natural affection. Implacable, which means they can't be made happy. You cannot satisfy them with anything. Unmerciful. So again, 23 things. God says, hey, these people had the truth. They rejected it over and over and over and over again. They did not walk in the light they had. I didn't give them any more light. And so I gave them up. I gave up on them. They turned natural affection into perverse affection. And their lives are characterized by these things. Now look at verse 32. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So they knew that God was displeased with the things that they were doing, their activities. And they know that there's consequences from God. There's judgment for God for these things. The wages of sin is death. They know that. And yet they continue to ignore the truth of God. They continue to defy God doing those things. And they have a lot of fun hanging around other people that do the same things. I want to close with a paragraph. I'm studying four different books, but this one guy just put it into one little paragraph that I think does a wonderful job of just saying what, just reviewing what Paul says in these verses. He says, Paul's conclusion is that the heathen are never without a witness to the presence and personality of God. Again, they see it in nature. They see it in their conscience. They have the witness of nature and the witness of their own conscience. However, the heathen have deliberately suppressed these witnesses to the truth and have consistently opted for a lie in the place of the truth. They have chosen the course of idolatry, which is always accompanied by debauchery. Thus, God has revealed his wrath from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppresses the truth of God. In addition, God has given them up to idolatry, to passions of infamy, and to an undiscerning and of unapproving mind. Are the heathen lost? Yes. The heathen world is lost, deserving condemnation, desiring evil, and desperately wicked. Again, in this section, as we talked about last week, Paul says, I got bad news and good news. The bad news is we're all sinners. And again, he's done a pretty good job of describing people that have rejected the truth. The good news is Jesus Christ died for sinners. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We got another chapter to talk about the sin. And then in chapter 3, we'll get over there and we'll start talking about the good news about Jesus Christ. Thank you for being here tonight. Let's stand and we'll have a word of prayer and be dismissed.